Test, test. Bloody, bloody, bloody,
Wow.
So one spends top dollar on top microphone equipment. I don't want to mention a name of a brand or anything, but quality stuff. Bought a headset with a mic on it. Do you know, after using it for months, I finally realized because that little foamy thing that sits on top of the mic, you know, that so that you can speak into the microphone safely. That thing there, good Lord, it was pointed the wrong way. That's right, it was pointed the wrong way. Oh, boy. Weird stuff, man. So I've been talking into the back of the microphone. Little did it know, it's an exit, not an entrance. So at the end of this week, come Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, you are invited cordially by the Toronto Argonauts to UTM, University of Toronto, Mississauga, to watch the Double Blue game. Now, John would like to have it changed to the blue and boat logo game. For us, we will call it that. The double blue and boat logo game. And that means that you're going to get to see some of these new players the Argos have brought in. Ricky Ray's back. Chad Owens is back. Chad Cackard is back. They lost one hardware holder, Ricky Foley. They lost a captain of the defense, J.Y. Jordan Younger. But there is hope springing eternal in Argoland. And why not? They are the defending Grey Cup champions. And they should be confident. And I tell you, I've had a chance to go down there. I took a day off today. Hanging out with all that stardom has finally gotten to me. I just don't know how these guys do it. Everything is so uppity up. Anyway, the last day I was at was yesterday, and yesterday the media turnout was light. At least the television media was not there to any serious degree. And the reason for that was simple. There was a basketball team in town announcing a new GM. The return of an old member of the family. He's back with the Raptors. But this is not a basketball show. This is a football show. But I just thought I'd mention that because it impacted on the media yesterday at UTM. Now, for today's show, we have lots of interviews. The nice thing about the Argos and the Argo management and the Argo media people, namely Eric Holmes, they're kind enough to allow us some time with the athletes. But I got to be honest, yesterday, I'll be playing the interview. Yesterday, I knew it was enough time for me, enough days in a row for me to be there. That I couldn't be there today. I just could not handle it today. Frank Ziccarelli, God, he's a good reporter. He's a great writer. Nothing but the best to say about him. But he asked a goofy question. And, it's fun. And you know what? Ricky Ray enjoyed it, and I'm sure the players enjoy some of the. I can see why he's been doing it so long. He's a pro and really good at what he does. John and I were poking fun at him the other day, but that's only because we love him and we think he's that good. Anyway, why don't we start? What should we start with today? Why don't we, you know what? We should start with maybe Chad Owens today. What do you think? It looked like the practice was motoring there a little bit.
It was fast, man. It was what you expect and what you want out of your practice. But I mean, I can't lie. I mean, shoot, this is the first double day. The second one, you know, getting started was kind of, you know, whew, okay, let's go. Once you get going, then you know, start to feel it again. But it's that's what it is, man. It's the expectation. You know, he said it last year. And so we knew what was expected this year, and I think everyone's bought in, at least the returnees, you know, the ones, the receivers, we understand. I mean, everyone understands what it takes to win, to finish, and the tempo that you put in practice.
Congratulations on the season you had last year, and congratulations on your mixed martial arts victory.
Thank you.
I know a lot of you got your great cup ring. How does it feel?
No, it's awesome. It's definitely you know, what you work towards, the team back together. We enjoyed it.
Joe Pella of your Toronto Argonauts, and you're listening to Candid Frank Live.
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos cheerleaders.
Yes, Chad Owens. And I wonder, I guess there, I heard that you could see the fight on YouTube. Now, I'm telling you, the guy is tough, and he is lean. As Coach Obilovich said, this guy comes to camp, he's ready to go. There's no confusion in his mind as to what he's here to do. You know, he was the MVP last year because of his hard work. That physique that he has doesn't, I don't think it exists by natural ways. There is a lot of work put in to be that physically fit and to be that quick and to be that explosive and to be that hard to bring down. Chad Owens this year has something to come up with, I guess, better than last year. Now, how do you do an encore when the regular part of the show included an MVP for the league? So, yeah, it's going to be kind of hard for him to do better this year, but if we know Chad Owens, he will try to do better. Let's remember that the Montreal Expos in Montreal had a partner, the Montreal Alouettes. The Expos had a lot of great players, and they lost them to a lot of other teams, and those teams really did enjoy a lot of success with former Expos, like Hernandez, for example. The parallel could be said for the Toronto Argonauts, who have acquired a wonderful talent in Chad Owens because of the riches in Montreal. And maybe he proved to be the best of the lot, but at a much younger age. And he has quite a few years in front of him, and hopefully for the Toronto Argonauts, they will be with the Argonauts. He's had a great career so far, you know, receiving, returning, all-purpose yards. The record, you know, he passed Pinball Clemens, brought Pinball Clemens to tears, not of sadness, but of happiness. So, yeah, it's a good deal for Chad Owens to be a Toronto Argonaut. Now, in his mixed martial arts debut, which he won, he really, really, really showed what he could do. Now, they refer to him as 5'8", 180 pounds. And I don't know, there must be a different measuring stick for football players in the Canadian Football League. I'm supposedly 5'10". But I think by CFL standards, I'm probably around 6 feet. You know, Jim Barker wasn't very happy with the fact that Chad Owens entered into this new adventure that he used to basically train. But, you know, once you start training with a program like this, you really want it. You want to see and try to understand how you fit into the grand scheme of things when it comes to other athletes who compete in the same type of thing. Now, when I say Owens is young, he is 31. But a man in that physical condition, I can't see him not playing till he's about at top peak. He's got at least 4 years left of peak form. Considering the form and the condition that he's in right now, he could probably go on for a while yet. Now, it's all about conditioning. It's all about explosiveness. It's all about, as he likes to say, and as a few, it seems to be an Argo term, and that is they like to fly around. They like to fly around. Whether it's on defense or offense, they like to fly around. And we know that is because they are so quick. They're not big, but they're very, very quick. And as many an athlete would like to be, and many an athlete is described to be, having a low center of gravity. And Chad Kackert, Chad Owens, Quincy Hurst, all these guys, they have a low center of gravity, which essentially means they're hard to knock down. If you want a parallel in the world that you live for a low center of gravity, try knocking down a fire hydrant. Very difficult because it has a low sense, it is a low center of gravity. So it is something that is a good trait to have, and he definitely does. Now, I don't know, low center of gravity for an MMA fighter. I'm sorry, guys, I'm not an MMA expert, so I really don't know, because they pick guys up and throw them down. They bend them in half. You know, they do all this wonderful stuff. So as far as Chad Owens is concerned, he is in peak physical condition. Now, we sat together in the grass, and he says to me, so, because he wanted to stand up. I said, no, we'll do it down here. We'll sit down in the grass. He says, so we're going to stretch while we do this? I said, not in this lifetime, because his idea of stretch and mine is when I wake up in the morning and I go, for him, it's a whole different ballgame. But, yeah, he's a great player, and it's a pleasure to meet him, and I'm glad that he's an Argo, as an Argo lifer. And as much as this turns off other people who like other teams, I'm sorry. You know, but that doesn't mean I don't respect the other teams like Hamilton. Like Montreal, like Winnipeg, Calgary, Saskatchewan, Edmonton, BC. I respect them all. We're lucky. We've got a great league. And because of that, John got his tickets today. I'm depressed. I didn't get mine. Where are my season tickets? I paid for them in advance. They're not here yet. It saddens me. All right. Well, now, the other day we introduced you to one of the fans, and I really want to play Anya again, Kragljajek. And I'd like to play her again because it's that kind of, it is truly is that kind of adoration of these players that motivates them and helps them to play better. I believe that the section of people who came all the way from Toronto and went to Montreal, Eric Ransom brought me in his car, and it was a wonderful event. And I can understand why fans of the Argos enjoy their team. Anya, tell us more.
First thing I need to do is tell me your name and spell it out for me.
Anya Kragljajec, AniaKragljajec.
Okay. First of all, tell me a bit about yourself. You're an Argo fan. How long have you been an Argo fan?
I've had season tickets for about 13 seasons now. It's great to be able to get so up close and personal to a team, and that's a problem as well, because Jordan Younger was my favorite player, and he announced his retirement today.
Well, there was a little bit. Mr. Barker always refers to the fact that even though when players leave the team, as you probably are aware, there's always a chance they might come back. Last year, Belly came back. So I guess you might hold hope out for that.
Oh, I am holding out hope. I've sent him a text message, and he hasn't answered me yet, but he knows how I feel, and I wish him all the best, but I'd love to see him back wearing the 26 and in the double blue.
What makes him such a favorite of yours?
I don't know. I took to him from day one when he became an Argo. He's become such a great leader to the team, and I think they're going to miss that leadership from him and all his knowledge as a player, and I'm hoping one day he can maybe have a coaching position out here.
Okay, you're a football fan. How far does your football fandom go?
Just the CFL.
Just the CFL?
Yeah.
And how long has it been?
I became a fan in 97.
So now, tell us a little bit about last year. Let's review the year from your perspective. They came out of the gate, I guess slow would be the word that we'd use, right?
Right. We had a couple missed field goals that cost us the game in the beginning, and I honestly didn't think we'd end up as champions.
There was the stretch, and I refer to it all the time, after the Hamilton game that they lost. It really looked like they might not make the playoffs after being in first. What was going through your mind at that time?
I don't know. Even going to Montreal for the Eastern Final, every year when we would go in the past, it's like, why do we go? We just come back disappointed. It's a really long drive home after that. And it was just amazing at the very end when they missed the catch and we ended up winning that game. And words can't describe it. I took time off of work just to celebrate the Grey Cup week, and I managed to drink out of the cup afterwards as well. So.
Where did you drink out of the cup?
At the team party.
Well, that's nice. So now they win the Grey Cup. Here we are at training camp. There's always disappointments at training camp, like the one we just heard about mm-hmm. Jordan Younger. But what's causing enthusiasm in your life right now as far as this training camp is concerned? New players, new situation?
Yeah, that's the sports of it all, right? You lose some, and then there are many more that will come in, and they'll never replace Jay White for me personally. But I'm excited to see the new talent, and hopefully Matt Black can step up and fill those shoes on defense. He's one of the best there, I guess, now. And I'm looking forward to this season. I think we got a good chance to make it into the playoffs again and hopefully repeat in Regina.
Well, I think most people would agree that the Argos didn't play their best football until the playoffs, until just before the playoffs. That Saskatchewan game seems to be the one general consensus says where the Argos turn things around.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I think Adrian O'Belly brought a lot back to the team as well with his experience and knowledge of the game.
And enthusiasm.
Oh, yeah. I missed the short shorts at training camp.
Thank you for taking the time
Thank
to talk
you.
To me. And I hope you have a great year.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Lisa, what's it like being an Argonaut cheerleader?
It's exciting. It's my first year, so I'm
so
excited.
Oh, so you made the cut this year.
I did.
What do you expect the most out of going to the game?
Enjoying all the crazy fans.
Now, obviously, you're very physical. In other words, you love to dance and stuff like that. Why do you think it's such a good idea to be an Argo cheerleader?
It's all part of the game, just being a part of the atmosphere.
When did you decide to be an Argo cheerleader?
Years ago, I actually did junior cheer when I was younger, so it was a lot of fun.
Well, I hope you do have a lot of fun. I know that we enjoy watching you guys dance on the field, and we know how much you support the team and how much you follow them around.
Of course.
Good luck. I hope it's everything you hope.
Thank you.
The cheerleaders. What's a football game without cheerleaders? It's almost as much as a football game without a football. Cheerleaders are great when the team isn't playing well, because at least they are there to help make you support the team when the team is not doing enough to excite you and to support them. The girls are very They're very pretty, and they are, and anyone who tries telling you they're not eye candy, they are eye candy. But they also really enjoy what they do. And I truly believe that people enjoy watching what they do for the right reasons. That's not to say, you know, I'm a father of four daughters, so you can understand that estrogen has been, I've been emancipated by estrogen. By contact, if you will, contact estrogen. It's great that they've had their tryouts. Their team is set. We had a chance to meet Lisa. She's a new Argo cheerleader. She's part of the cheer team and one of the cheer teams in the league. And at the Grey Cup, I gotta say, the most attractive. Should we call them costumes or uniforms? Let's go with uniforms. The most attractive uniforms in my mind were the ones by the Calgary Stampeder cheerleaders. They were beautiful. They truly were. You know, when you look at the cheerleaders for what they are, which is pretty girls, eye candy, you know, support for the team. You know, I'm sure if you're a woman at the game, you enjoy watching the football players in their tights. Now, if someone's going to tell you that that's not true, believe them, but make a decision on your own. Good looking people are at the football game. So part of going is you see good looking football players if you're a female, you see good looking women if you're a guy. Now, if you're if you're on the edge of becoming a grandfather like me, not really why I go, but you know, I like the beautiful smiles that the girls have. You know, when you look at it in perspective, you have to like what they do. Why they're there, you can argue about it from here to there, back and forth, up and down, every direction you possibly could for as long as you want. But at the end of the day, these girls bring excitement to the game, and we sit right behind them where they cheer. So trust me when I say this, I understand completely how energetic these girls are, and they are very energetic, and they work very hard. And don't let the fact that they are in fact pretty, that they are dressed in pretty costumes that accentuate their beauty, but they also work very hard at the routines. And please, don't make fun of what they do, because they do their part. I say that because I hear people sometimes almost poo-poo the fact that there's cheerleaders at a football game. And of course, when cheerleaders became popular was when I was a young man. And by young, I mean like 18, 16. I think that's when I was 16 or 18, something like that. Might have been a little bit younger or a little bit older. When the Dallas Cowboys invented cheerleading as a focus, they were always there. I mean, probably from the dawn of ages, every time the group of men went out hunting, there was probably cheerleaders cheering them on. But the Dallas Cowboys turned it into a business. I mean, just the cheerleading aspect of the team was turned into a business. And they had real life of Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders. They were on Love Boat. They were on this show. They were on that show. They were even on cop shows where somebody would get murdered at a cheerleading tryout type thing. So the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders did something for cheerleading that didn't exist before them. They made them mainstream and took them out of the periphery of what was going on the football field. Equal to that would be, for those of you that love football and understand football, and whether it's Canadian football, NFL football, college football, high school football, all the different kinds of football. Cheerleaders, being the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders, they drew so much attention to them. I don't think any other than players, people involved in football, other than the replacement officials, I don't think anybody's ever taken notice with the replacement officials and the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders when they first came in. So it was fun. It truly was fun interviewing Lisa, one of our new Argo cheerleaders. Welcome to the group. Also had a chance to work with a couple at Habitat for Humanity. And trust me when I say this, one characteristic that an Argo cheerleader has to have, and I say Argo cheerleader only because I haven't been that close or haven't, you know, had experience to interact with other cheerleaders, is that they do believe in taking part. And at Habitat, trust me when I say this, Paul Pottinger and I can attest to the fact that the girls really do care and really do want to be a part of what's going on. And for that, I say thank you and good for you. And I know the next time we go to a, well, actually, they were at the breakfast, I think it's breakfast television, City TV. They went to a school where they were basically food for kids. I don't think any of the players were there. I don't think any of the management was there. And this isn't a knock, by the way, on the players or the management or any of the Argos, but the Argo cheerleaders were there. So, you know, let's put everything in perspective and remember that it takes a lot to make a football game. And sometimes it isn't that weird-looking pigskin alone that does it. Although we all want to know where that thing is and where it's going to go and how it's going to end up there, there are other things that are part of going to a football game. As our, I don't know if I can arrange, what I'd really like to do is to arrange an interview at some point, if we can. I don't know if he actually talks. I really don't. I don't know if he talks. I mean, I've chest thumped with him. I've shaken his hand. I've given him my horn to blow, and he's done it well. If you look at the pictures below the screen, not today, but the ticket prices has him blowing the horn that I enjoy bringing out to games to support my team. Here's a good introduction to what I'm talking about.
Now, from the makers of Sinbad, Columbia Pictures presents Jason and the Argonauts. The mightiest band of warriors the world has ever known.
Turn back, Jason! We're trapped!
Sailing to the ends of the earth, battling against an incredible number of obstacles.
Where will you find this miracle? I have heard there is a tree at the end of the world, with a fleece of gold hanging in its branches.
In search of the fabulous magic golden fleece, Jason and the Argonauts, caught in the clutches of the towering bronze giant Talos, battered by treacherous falling rocks, taming vulturous harpies, facing the dreaded seven-headed Hydra, battling the merciless army of skeletons. Jason and the Argonauts, the classic story of Jason, a man who challenged the gods. Medea, a temple dancer who betrayed a kingdom for love. The Argonauts, the mightiest band of warriors the world has ever known. Jason and the Argonauts, a classic adventure story, brought to the screen through the incredible special effects magic of Dinorama. Jason and the Argonauts, the search that became a legend.
And they kept searching and searching and searching and searching and did more searching. And they found the Grey Cup. They definitely found the Grey Cup. Now, what should we do next? You know what? It is probably... do you know that... this season being the 101st Grey Cup, it means that that many of us will have the luxury of watching the second century of championship football, championships of any kind. A second century of them. No other sport can lay claim to that. Absolutely no other sport can lay claim to that. So that's a pretty good thing. So Saskatchewan, congratulations on that. And I heard a rumor that maybe the next year might be going to BC. Some thought maybe Winnipeg. That's something that that can be debated, I guess.
Montreal, you used to be winners. Now you're just whiners. Boo, we are different. We are French. Shut up. You're not even real French anyway, like those guys from Denmark, man. In Vancouver, we're real. Yeah, the championship BC Lions, they're really going to kick some Alouette butt. Blue team sucks. BC rules.
BFL, the rivalry lives on.
What's up, dudes?
I'll tell you what's up. The BC Lions, can you imagine they eat their training camp meals at a high school cafeteria? I mean, just saying. It's kind of cool, though, don't you think? Now, there has been, well, you know, with BC, they have the opportunity. Reed. Is it Travis Reed? Yeah, anyway, the center. He's announced that he's not going to play past this year. So what's he doing? Obviously, he's helping the guy who's going to replace him take over for him. That's a nice thing to do. So at this year's training camp, the longtime BC Lions center is helping CFL club prepare for his replacement for the day when he retires. Is this fateful day in front of us at some point? He says some people, they know, would struggle with grooming their successor. But Reed at 36, I kind of was the one that spearheaded the idea. I've played a lot of football in my life. I love this team, being the BC Lions. I want to help it win championships. But I understand that my days are near the end. I always thought my responsibility, or anyone's responsibility, if you have a job for long enough, is to transition the next person in and help with that. And I really enjoy the role. I have some wisdom to pass on, and I have no problem stepping back from time to time and letting the next person start growing. Well, he performed a starting role after the offensive line in BC. Ran into injury troubles in training camp a year ago. Coach Mike Benavides, general manager Wally Bono, thought so highly of Norman that they allowed him to leave the team early to get his teaching credentials at Western before the one-year program became a two-year setup. So this second-year pro, Matt Norman, he is apparently the heir, and he will take over from this 13-year veteran when he, Reed, finally hangs up his cleats. Now, the Châteauguay, Quebec, 24-year-old native, played four seasons with Western University and made an impact very quickly in his rookie season. So this kid has talent, and BC knows it, offered him a little leeway so that he could quickly take a course that's 1 year long today. Because if he had gone tomorrow, it was going to be a two-year course. But then, of course, when the Lions ran into more injury woes in the playoffs, he returned to the club and played in the Western Final. I think he's got the right mindset, so he will be able to play center, if that's exactly where they're going with this. Reed will do anything to make sure it works, to help this talented player from Quebec to be successful in front of the quarterback, probably Travis Lule, this year and years to come. And as you know, Reed's not gone yet. So it will be, an increased workload dependent on game to game. So I think BC's got themselves a pretty good guy in Reed. But I have to say, I'm not surprised. He's a CFL player. Most CFL players are like that. We'll be back right after this.
Of your Toronto Argonauts, and you're listening to Candid Frank Live.
Thank you, Joe. Bullying. On the football field, bullying is a requirement. So why would a player like Joe Appel take the time in his community to work with children, go to schools, and try to open his heart to them and share his experience, good and bad? And when I say good and bad, I'm talking about the good and bad of being on the receiving end, but more importantly, the bravery that Joe Appel shows is he discusses the fact that he was a bully and that he knew it was wrong then, but didn't do anything about it. But now he knows, still, it was wrong. And he is doing something about it. You can be a decent person, a good person, a person with good intention, maybe a little weak in a certain way, on a certain slant, and be a bully. But boys and girls, Argo fans and not, do the world a favor. Listen to Joe Appel. Listen to these children that are proving to be more mature than many of the adults, that bullying is not a good thing. And I believe in Joe Appel's speeches, he talks about doing nothing when it's taking place. That's not a good idea, my friends. We all have an obligation to step in. Never forget to step in.
I'm Quincy Hart, and I started I Believe in Me because I saw there was a need for us to believe in ourselves more than life teaches us to believe in ourselves. People believe in negative statistics, therefore they become statistics. Elementary school students and middle school students are failing and not passing their tests. High school students are dropping out at an alarming rate. The unemployment rate is at an all-time high. With self-belief, self-confidence, and an overall positive self-image, we can fix a lot of these problems that we're facing. With the positive self-image, that elementary school student and that middle school student will succeed in class and be promoted to high school. That high school student will complete high school and graduate from college. That individual that's unemployed will find a job or create work for themselves. I believe in me, therefore I have the confidence to believe in you. I believe that you will help me fulfill my desires according to the younger generation. They label Generation X. Teach them the self-confidence they need to become Generation Excellent. I believe in me. I believe in you. Join me on this mission.
One of the biggest things that is a difficulty for an athlete is to believe in themselves, to have the confidence and to understand that their talent is enough. Now all they need to do is to equal that talent with hard work. One of those players that proved that he could be one of those guys. His name was Donovan Carter. Donovan Carter was a Toronto Argonaut first-round draft choice and played in all four Eastern cities right now. He played in Toronto, Hamilton, Winnipeg, and Montreal. He didn't miss playing for any of those teams. So he knows the East really well in the Canadian Football League. And he coached the University of Toronto for, I believe, 4 years. He was in there coaching them. And in one of those years, they led the UAA in CIS in pass defense. Now, the rest of the defense didn't do too well in the offense. As we all know, the University of Toronto doesn't really care about football. Football's not a sport. It isn't about sports either, I don't think. Whatever it is, they have failed to produce a winner. I guess the first thing they'd say is that they've considered education first and sports second. And that would be a fair comment, if that's what they made as a comment. But at the end of the day, they don't have a very good team, and it hasn't been very good for a very long time. So Donovan Carter, this past offseason, was hired by the Windsor Lancers. And, he happened to be at the practice, and I happened to decide maybe I should learn a little bit about this guy. So let me share what I learned about Donovan Carter with you. Donovan Carter, former first-round draft choice of the Toronto Argonauts, defensive coach for the University of Toronto Blues, will be more than just a football coach for the University of Windsor Lancers. At the ripe old age of 37, Carter, who spent the past four seasons as the defensive coordinator at the University of Toronto, is the Lancers' new full-time associate head coach and defensive coordinator. Along with his duties, Coach Carter will also be required to teach, come up with fundraising initiatives for the football program, as well as handle recruiting for the team. "This role progresses my career," said Carter, who was the fourth overall pick in the 2000 Canadian Football League draft and spent seven seasons in the league playing linebacker and safety for the Toronto Argonauts, Ottawa, Hamilton, and Winnipeg. "There's other parts and contributions I would like to make." Lancers head coach Joe DeMore said there were 30 applicants for the job, but Carter's coaching background and roots in the Toronto area set him apart. While the Varsity Blues have struggled in the win column in recent years, Carter's defense has made an impact. 2 years ago, Toronto had the number one pass defense despite being 2-6, Carter reminded us. Carter, who is from Brampton, also served as a defensive coordinator with the Etobicoke of the Ontario Varsity Football League. "It's a tough area for us to recruit and creates a lot of challenges," DeMore said of the GTA. "He's concerned for the connection to the players in that area is big. While not deep in knowledge about the Windsor area school, he does know a graduate of that school, his brother Michael, who received a Bachelor of Commerce degree." Windsor coach DeMore said that with seven CFL seasons under his belt, speaking of Carter, and 4 years coaching at the CIS level, again Carter, has nothing to prove to his players. "Donovan not only has experience running a defense at the CIS level, but his extensive playing career in the CFL gives him instant credibility with our players," DeMore said. "He brings a sound defensive system that will allow our players to play fast and adapt quickly. Windsor and Carter will blend well in the city of hard work." "I want my defense known for hard work," Carter said. "Bring your heart at. Be physical and aggressive to the ball." Improving on back-to-back playoff appearances will be Carter's leadership goal, and taking another step the OUAA football standings is his aim. "There's a lot of great athletes here," Carter said. "I'm going to promote competition. I want the guys to embrace that. I think that will help us. That kind of makes bad teams good teams and good teams very good teams if you have a great competition in there and make tough decisions for the coaching staff. I ran into Donovan Carter at the Argo training facility, and this is what we talked about.
CIS has a program where they're developing quarterbacks. Can you give us your opinion on how that's working and what you see that doing in the future for football, for Canadian quarterbacks?
I think it's a great opportunity to get kids exposure to come out to camp and get the type of coaching they do. You know, the issue is, do we have enough coaches, capable quarterbacks to get to all the CFL camps and, you know, take advantage of that type of opportunity, you know. But I think it's great for the game. You know, will it lead to a quarterback? That would be the hope, and that would be something I would look forward to seeing.
It doesn't hurt to give the quarterbacks an opportunity to develop. The one problem that Canadian quarterbacks have is that they don't come out of, you know, the kind of training that American quarterbacks go through. In a way, what you're doing here is, I guess, at least the CIS is doing, is trying to introduce the quarterbacks to let them know there might be a future. They get a chance to develop. Where what we have now is we have a ceiling that happens. It's no fault of anybody in particular. It just means we've got to work harder, I guess, to create quarterbacks and give them the confidence that there's a job waiting for them at some point.
Yeah, no question. Because you know what, they get coached so well from a young age in the U.S., and there's definitely a catching up that needs to be done at that position. That would be, I mean, like I said, I think there's a lot of good young quarterbacks with the ability of playing our game. I think that's their advantage, learning our game from a young age, the wider field. And now let's see if we can give them the tools to take advantage of that.
And know what they need to do, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Windsor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Canadian college football sometimes seems to be, you know, four or five teams basically overpower the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see in the future where there might be a little more of a balanced situation, and or what do we need to create that, or to, you know, create an atmosphere of a more competitive side in the CIS?
I think it's well on the way. I think a lot of the teams that were traditionally at the bottom of the division, particularly in the OUA, have definitely closed that gap. So it has to happen with recruiting and the resources that each program has. And that's what, like you said, the strong has stayed strong because they've been able to keep a lot of the top recruits. But now with more balance, good coaching going to different schools, I think some of the prospects coming out are going and making up different choices than they did in the past and not just going to this program that's at the top of the division. So, you know, with that and with Windsor. Windsor's done a good job now of getting into the playoffs for the last few years. And, you know, I've been brought over there to see if I can help them take the next step and start to contend with some of the perennial powerhouses in our division and across the country.
Tell me about where your team's at and where you see the progress specifically on your team.
A lot of good kids out there. Great talent pool in the Windsor area. The offense has done exceptionally well over the past few years, with Joe going in there and solidifying that with recruiting as well. You know, my hope is to come in there and bring that structure to the defensive side and see if we can get them competing as well as they're doing on the offense, on defense there. You know, they have the personnel, and it's for me to just put a system so the kids, you know, fly around and make plays on defense.
How about a couple of names that we should be looking out for? A
couple of names. We got a good disruptive DN. I'm going to be defensive biased a little bit, but I'll say a couple offensive guys. I like Ty Pham, a good guy up front. He went to the East-West for our team and represented us well. Josh Burns, I think, is a guy who you could look to be drafted next year, a secondary, a free safety, you know, has the speed to be a guy that American coaches here in the CFL will look at that position. You know, we think that we have the best quarterback now that Quinlan's moved on with Kennedy at the quarterback spot. He's the lead of our team. So, a lot of explosive guys, you know.
A lot of explosiveness on that team for sure. I'm sure Donovan will ignite that explosiveness. At the Argos training camp, bumped into Coach Craney, York University coach.
I wanted to talk to you about this program that the CIS and the CFL have of bringing in quarterbacks to train with the CFL team. I've heard that that's been a real rousing success.
Oh, without a doubt. I think it's great. Anytime we can you know, promote Canadian contact, especially at the quarterback position. You know, I think it's so beneficial for the Canadian game and for young Canadians, you know, playing that the quarterback position.
Forgot to turn
on
the mic.
I can't imagine how frustrating it must be for the individual player who has aspirations of being a quarterback, but they're really into it. A tough battle because it's not about talent, it's about training and experience, and the Canadian players just don't have the same amount as the American quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's the, you know what, it's definitely an issue. I think we're doing a better job. I know coaches and I know Football Canada, they're putting a stronger emphasis on the position. You know, one of the big things we found in some experience I have in the U.S., one of the big differences of that position is the sport of baseball. You know, a lot of quarterbacks in the U.S. grow up 2 years old learning how to throw a baseball, and you know it's the throwing sport and that throwing motion that further enhances their training capability. So, but again, I think Football Canada has addressed it, and I think they're doing the best they can in order to rectify that situation.
Let's switch gears now. Let's talk about your team. What do we have to look forward to with the Argonauts?
You got a lot to look forward to. It's, you know, this is the first year where it's really my team. Everyone on that team is someone I recruited and brought into the program, so I'm very excited about that. I think we're going to be a competitive thing, a very competitive team, and you know our only nemesis this year is going to be youth, and that's not a bad thing, I think.
Well, you have to build from that, don't you?
You have to build from that. Yeah.
Experience only comes with experience.
Exactly, and we're going to get a lot of that this year. You know, we were a very young team last year, did some great things. You know, finishing third in the OUA in offense. You know, defense, we got to tighten up a few things. You know. Very tough schedule this year, but we're excited for that. That's how we're going to get better, is by playing the better teams.
Well, congratulations on having all the players you want.
Excellent.
And I hope they develop at a speed and a rate of speed that you can live with.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be official. Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Go, go, go. Woo!
Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You have any more popcorn?
There you go. I didn't have my microphone on, and I was having a conversation with Chris Shivcharan. And made friends with him on Facebook. And I was telling you all about it. When that dead air was going on, I was telling you all about it. Telling you how John messaged me that Chris wanted to be called. So now we're going to do what I just said. We're going to call Chris Shivcharan. And that's his phone ringing right now. Now, I've never met him before. I just made friends with him like 5 minutes ago. And he wanted to take part in the show. Hey, Chris, how you doing, buddy? I called your last name Shivcharan. Is that close?
Yeah, you can call me Shivy. That's for sure. Just to Chris Shivy is cool.
Okay, Shivy.
Shivcharan is correct. Yeah,
okay,
Shivy.
Good. Okay, whatever floats your boat. Now, I was looking at your profile. Yeah. I mean, I didn't see anything about the CFL on it. Did I miss anything here? Did I?
Not quite. I've posted the promo for the Argo Lifers, not promo for the season tickets. But I'm not per se, like, you know, I'm not a heavy CFL fan, but is that a requirement of sorts, or are you just taking a chance?
No. Just trying to get a perspective on the person who wanted to be on the show, because you're a rarity. Not many are as brave as you are and willing to speak on this show, not because they're intimidated by anything that I may say, but only because they may be afraid to be associated with me.
Oh, that's fine. Listen, I mean, John, this is through John, and I trust John. I've met John like less than 2 weeks ago, and I wanted to give my story more or less how I kind of came into it, how I got the season ticket, you know, what he's done to kind of open my eyes to the Argo Lifers, and even, you know, with the CFL. So I was aware beforehand what it's about, but, you know, I haven't been to a game. I've never been to a game, and I've already got my season ticket, and this is all because of John. And I want to, number one, talk about the Argo Lifers and what it could be in terms of atmosphere and any potential people that are looking to get season tickets or join our group. So it's more or less a layman version, like a newbie, a greenie, more or less, into the CFL world. And into this whole Argo Lifer business. So that's the perspective I'm coming from. You know, I'm not the heavy sports guy, so I'm not, you know, if you turn out stats and ask me about this and that, you know, I'm going to give you like a fan, a very layman fan perspective, a very greedy perspective of someone who likes the NFL a great deal, but is now coming across to the CFL because of someone like John Granger.
Okay, that's fair. And it's very fair for you to suggest that and be honest and say, I'm not really very knowledgeable, but I've seen something I like, and now I want to explore it.
Indeed. I think that's the best part about my story here, and that's exactly what I want to share, calling into your show.
And I appreciate it. So you have a knowledge of football, mostly with the NFL, which means you understand Indeed. About, you know, pass, catch, defend, and all the basics
oh, yeah.
of football,
oh, yeah.
right? Okay, because you're selling yourself as someone who doesn't know enough, but only because you don't know.
Well, I'm talking about stats and everything else.
Yeah.
As far as the game
yeah.
go on the field, I'm down with that. Yeah.
Okay, tell me a little bit about yourself because I'm very curious. I see that you are someone that I know I'm going to like because you seem to be concerned about feeding the hungry. You have a conscience. You're
right.
a conscientious person, and that's always a nice
right.
thing.
Yeah, I'm a giver of sorts. I'm also into like activism, not so much on the streets as much, although I would like to be on the street activism, and what you call a armchair activism. I'm big on privacy rights, no government intrusion. I'm not big on globalization, you know, stuff like GMO and Monsanto, which you hear a lot about in the news. I'm a philosopher of sorts. If you see my background there, do you see that shot of the fire?
Yeah,
that more or less encapsulates me. That's what I call the rising of the phoenix there, that story. I was camping in 2009, and me, a buddy of mine, we just had our cameras out, and we're taking shots of the fire, just click, 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 click. And I just look at one of the pictures, and oh, my God, lo and behold, this amazing picture comes up. If you click on it, you can see the whole picture, and it looks like the phoenix, the shape of the phoenix in the fire. So, I'm big into not necessarily New Age, but this kind of philosophy where people are kind of breaking the mold of, you know, this materialistic mindset, and you know, my heart's opened up through some personal suffering, and just I'm seeing the world through this whole different perspective. So I've become a lot more conscious about the world, especially about not necessarily about going green, but the overwhelming reach of globalization and government intrusion and you know, the stuff that's happening in the Middle East with the wars and all that upheaval. So I used to be in the financial services industry. I used to be much more materialistic-minded, but I've changed my route over the last 3 or 4 years, and that's due to some losses, you know, that the ego had to be beaten up a little bit, and my spirit grew as a result of that pain and suffering. So I'm very much into activism and awareness and making sure the world's a better place.
Well, first of all, I don't want to turn this into a political show because that's not the intention of the show, but very quickly, I will tell you that I disagree with you 100% about government intrusion. I think a lot of you, what they would call, what do they call, well, you're jeepers. Well, here, I'll just come right out and say what I think. I think you and people like you are mistaken when you refer to government intrusion. And I think really what the problem, I'm going to disagree with you because this is a soft spot for me. I don't have a problem with government. I don't have a problem with government. What I have a problem with is the recession of government on behalf of corporate interests, where the reason government was brought into place and existence was because a couple of hundred women died in a fire in the 1900s to protect workers against less than considerate, using the term less than considerate, well, downright murderers, you know, murdering businessmen, right? Which we're not allowed to say, you know. So that's my, but I hope you understand the hair that I'm splitting when I say to you, the retreat of government.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I just think that government isn't to blame Just like religion,
right.
Just like God isn't to blame. It is the people who claim to master its destiny that I have a problem with.
Truly. And I think we're on the same page to some extent, because a large part, and like you said, it's not a political show, but let's just say this and get off of it, if you could. A large part of it is the hybrid of corporations and government. I agree with you that government should be serving its people and maybe should act as a broker between the powerhouses, corporation, and the average citizenry. But what's been happening as of late is this merger of corporations and government, where my whole thing with government intrusion is that why are they being intrusive? I mean, there are various things that happen, and they do it more or less on behest of corporations. There's way too much of a chummy relationship.
You see,
and
you
can go on and on about this.
That's where I'm saying that's where we split the hair. Listen, on Friday, we take the CFL people who feel that they can talk about something other than football. That's the day we do something like this. We have a thing called Free for All, and we talk about things. I like to, at the end of the day, what I hope for is that I run into a lot of people like you who love the game of football as a release, as a way of being entertained. You know, it's just another channel on the TV dial, if you will. It's just another channel in your mind that brings you a release and a moment to not think about government and your life and bills and stuff like that. So we can get together at the football game and be together in the Argo Lifers section and celebrate the game of football together. I welcome you, and I am totally glad that you're willing to come in. And more than that, I'm appreciative of the fact that you're a sensitive, thoughtful, perceptive person who isn't someone that would be considered a typical football fan. But on the other hand, I'm glad you do, and I mean it with all sincerity. I like to think of myself as I think of you, as a person who has a mind, who isn't a guy who thumps his chest, bare-chested, 20 degrees below zero, pissed to the gills. We don't all have to be like that, right? So I welcome you on behalf of one of the thoughtful people that is an Argo lifer, who's a bit of a libertarian himself, like you. And I hope you enjoy it. Now, what do you look forward to? What do you anticipate as what will be your experience in Section 134B?
Awesome amounts of fun. I know I'm going to watch a game, but just gauging it from John, it just seems like such a sense of community, and it's just more about the game, the people that you're there with, and coming together as a unit and cheering on your team and just being there and being in sync. And it's the energy, it's the atmosphere. You know, you come out into your humdrum of a life, and I've been to a few sporting events, and I don't want to call it the specific team or the game itself, but I'm sure it could have been a lot more fun. I'm just really anticipating the tier push, so to speak, of fan enjoyment, and just seeing the pictures from what John has posted and what it's like, and he's got the drums, and now they got some cowbells, and when I'm in that setting, I become one of that person. My sensitivity, so to speak, is there, but it goes away. I'm like one of the jocks, not belligerent, not obscene, but just having a good time. Standing up, raising my arm, screaming to the cloud, so to speak, and it's the best feeling to know that, the people on the field is an extension of who you are off the field, and you can live a little bit vicariously through them. And just for that 2 hours or whatever may have you, you feel as if you're a part of something that outside of that moment and environment, you can't do otherwise.
Well, Chris Shivcharan, or Shivy.
That's it. You nailed it. Yes.
And it is truly a pleasure to meet you, and I look forward to calling you again. Now, are you specifically an Argo fan or more of an Argo lifer fan?
I'm Argo. I'm all like my I back. I'm a pretty loyal person, so I back all of my Toronto teams. So I'm an Argo fan. I'm a Blue Jay fan. I'm a Leafs fan. I'm a Marley fan. You name it, you got it. But the
hook, so to speak, is
the Argo lifer.
Shivy. I was starting to like you.
Yes.
Now all of a sudden, not so much.
Oh, jeez.
I'm kidding, man.
I'm
yeah. On your leg. Listen, thank you for wanting to be on the show, and I appreciate your presence. and I look forward to spending some time with you during the football games.
Okay. Well, no worries. Thanks for having me on, Frank. Take care.
My pleasure, my friend. That is Chris Chivcharin. He is a new, if you will, CFL fan. He has decided that he wants to join and be a part of the Toronto Argonaut Lifers, section 314B. 34. Now I forgot the section. 134B. Blah, blah, blah. Thank you. I really appreciate his wanting to be on the program. If you as well would like to be on the program and you want to avoid a long-distance call, I know that sounds tacky, but being a libertarian and being a person who believes that I'm not one of the richest people in the world, if it doesn't cost you anything to talk on this show and I have to do something to make that happen, consider it done. So all you have to do is message me on Facebook, just as Chris Chivcharin did through John Granger. And please, I will call you, and we will talk about almost anything. As you witnessed, we even deviated from the normal football discussion. Now, we talked a little bit about the Friday show. It's Monday, Wednesday, Friday is the Candid Frank live show. I'm toying with changing the name of one of the shows because I want to eliminate the confusion that Friday's show is not about football. But it includes the people that listen to the program, the few that do listen. We include you in the repartee, if you will. We pick up some subjects. Aaron Freeland, William Freeland, is a staple on Fridays. I haven't called him yet today to remind him to be on the show today, but he hasn't messaged me either. So, you know, I assume he's busy for tonight. But Friday, if Aaron isn't going to be on the show, preferably it would be Monday and Wednesday. Because Aaron is another thought-provoking person, a person with a different opinion than me. He is a card-carrying, and when I say card-carrying, he is a card-carrying conservative. I used to be a liberal. I may still be a liberal, but I may become more of a libertarian. But what I have become is dissatisfied with the government that we have now, but that's part of the Friday stuff. And there's some stuff going on politically that we can talk about on Friday. So I think I've done enough to prime the pump about Friday. So it's Wednesday. So what do we do on Wednesday? We talk football. We talk CFL football. We talk about the Toronto Argonauts. Yes, the Toronto Argonauts, the home team, as our buddy just discussed with us. Now, let's continue with what we were discussing, and I will mention we talked to Donovan Carter. We talked to Coach Rainey, and we talked to Quincy Hurst. Oh, actually, I was going to talk to Quincy Hurst now. Yeah, you know what? Let's go to Quincy Hurst. Short interview. This is from yesterday. Receiver, Quincy Hurst.
So, last time we talked, it was the first day of camp, and here we are now, third day of camp, and how do you feel?
I feel good. I got my legs under me. I haven't been too gassed after these the first few days, and it's just really starting to come. The offense is getting around my head.
Yeah, I notice the field here. How do you define this field? How does it compare with the Rogers Center?
I mean, it's pretty similar. There's, you know, the grass turf. This one's obviously a lot hotter because the sun's beating on it all day, so it's kind of tough on the feet, but you know, it's good. It's easy on the joints.
Now, the conditioning that you have, do you feel you're ready to go? I know you're feeling physically well.
Coach Milanovic does a real good job with these training camp practices of getting us in shape. You know, we're never walking around. We're always sprinting from drill to drill, and if you don't have anything to do, you got to find work inside.
Okay, where are you at in your training regimen? Where do you see your improvement in your play in the rest of the training camp?
Physically, I feel all right. I just got to keep my legs under me, keep taking care of myself. And it's mostly all mental. So I'm doing a lot less thinking out there and just playing football now compared to last year.
Best of luck.
And, of course, that's Quincy Hurst. Take a short. We're going to go away for a second. Listen to this here.
It's a legacy 65 years in the making of undefeated seasons and Grey Cup wins. Old records broken and new records made. The players who gave it all on the field to lead our team to victory. Find out what legends will be born this year. Stamps season tickets start at just $139. Get yours at stampeders.com. Be a part of the ongoing legacy. Stampeders football. Calgary's horsepower.
Yes, Calgary. Plenty of horsepower. Well, with the help of CFL.ca and the Calgary Stampeders.com and George Johnson, Calgary Herald, they're flat out expecting Mo. Mo catches, Mo yards, Mo touchdowns, Mo jaw-dropping, heart-palpitating, mesmerizing moments of mercurial magic. Man, this is all new to me, Maurice Price confesses. I've never really been in this position before. Even going into the season as a starter is different for me, so I'm taking anything for granted. It's humbling. I'm the type of guy who gets motivated by compliments, praise, whatever. I've been like that all my life. I don't live my life proving people wrong. I want to prove them right. So he has a talk with TSN. Mo here, Mo Price, is going to be a jaw-dropping receiver. Looking forward to seeing him when he comes to Toronto. And, you know, well, he started in 2012. Came back from an ankle injury and proved that he could still do the job. In fact, to the point where he was averaging 22.5 yards per catch. Now, he had three TDs and 405 yards. So he obviously is a good player, and he's somebody that Calgary's looking forward to. In fact, even the nastiest of judges would have been won over by Mo Price's audition in 2012. Now, as I said, he was running 22.5 average per snag, and then he had two playoff tilts at the 100th Grey Cup at the Rogers Centre. Remember? He's the guy that exploded and made it look like they were actually going to make a comeback. But it didn't work for Mo Price and the Calgary Stampeders that day. Sadly, it wasn't meant to be. But on the good news front, he had a great game. And he'll probably have a great year. And after that Grey Cup game, they were posted as the favorite immediately after. Now, one of the things that the CFL Players Association has, now, it's too late to fill out the form, but they have a fantasy camp. Now, the next time that comes up, you better get in early. Otherwise, you won't get a chance to be a part of it. Now, we talked a little bit of politics. We always talk football here. And just because I love the game of hockey, but more because every time I watch a hockey game now, it's difficult for me not to think of this, the late Stompin' Tom Connors. He was to hockey what nobody else was. Not Hockey Night in Canada, not the Hockey Night in Canada song, not Don Cherry. Stompin' Tom Connors wrote a song about hockey that no one's been able to equal. And some will not even bother trying. So, for 2 minutes, we're going to have a break here. And that break's going to include listening to Stompin' Tom Connors.
Hello out there. We're on the air. It's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Second period, where players dash with skates aflash. The home team trails behind, but they grab the puck and go bursting up, and they're down across the line. They storm the crease like bumblebees. They travel like a burning flame. We see them slide the puck inside. It's a 1-1 hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Third period, last game in the playoffs, too. Oh, take me where the hockey players face off down the rink. And the Stanley Cup is all filled up for the champs who win the drink. Now the final flick of a hockey stick and a one gigantic scream. The puck is in, the home team wins the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game. Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
It's the good old hockey game. The good old hockey game. It's the best game you can name. No, never mind. So here's the thing. This is a football show. But since it's training camp and since the playoffs are going on, I am going to let you all in on a little secret. I've been really trying to rub the Bruin fans' butts really hard. Yes, I have. I don't think there's a set of fans. Shh. Don't tell anybody. I hate the Boston fans more than anybody. Only reason why I don't like Don Cherry. There are rest of the reasons. I like him enough. But he's a Bruins fan. And how can you like the Bruins? Guys, did you forget? This is the thing that I really like about hockey fans. I think too many of them have been concussed. Too many hockey fans have been concussed. By the way, this is my rant on hockey. How can I prove this point? Let me say this and say it very carefully so that you can hear something that Don Cherry never mentions. Who did Bobby Orr play for at the end of his career? Not Boston. He was such a great player and he brings so much honor to the Boston Bruins. Yet they got rid of him. They jettisoned him just like Harold Ballard jettisoned Dave Keon. I watched Bobby Orr playing for the Chicago Blackhawks at center ice. Well, in the seats at center ice. Up close as I could get to see the one need greatest hockey player ever to play up until that time next to Rocket Richard and a few other players. I have to say that because Teter Kennedy was pretty good too. But having said that, how can people talk about the connection between the Bruins and Bobby Orr? Well, when Bobby Orr was worth something, the Bruins were more than willing to capitalize, underpay him, to the point where he became less than healthy, and the Bruins showed their loyalty the exact same way Harold Ballard showed Davey Keon his loyalty. I despise the Maple Leafs as a youngster because of Harold Ballard. And now you'll understand why I have no respect for Bruins fans and the Bruins because of how they treated Bobby Orr. There it is. Is it logical what I just said? Does it make any sense to you that I would not like, if I was a Boston Bruin fan, that I would not like Boston? Hindsight being 20/20, realizing today and having realized that day that what they did was dishonorable to Bobby Orr. And Don Cherry forgets to mention that simple little fact. Just a little fact. They kicked him out to the trash heap, and to the rescue were the Chicago Blackhawks. So anyway, that's why I don't like the Bruins. And this year in the playoffs, I have probably seen the most obvious skewed officiating that I've seen in the 55 years that I've been watching hockey. I've seen some pretty interesting stuff. I've lived through, and I wasn't four when this happened. I was, in the 70s when the Philadelphia Flyers were the Philadelphia Flyers and the Bruins were the Bruins. When sticks were tossed to the ice in regularity and benches were emptied and players went into the stands and all that wonderful stuff. I was, at the start of the 70s, 16 years old. So I may have a little recollection of those games. Just a little bit. And everybody seems to forget that teams were winning the Stanley Cup because they were allowed to brutalize other teams. My friends, it's what they were allowed to do. The Flyers and the Bruins were allowed to beat people to a pulp so that they would win the Stanley Cup. Not because of their talent, not because of their ability, but because they got the check mark from the National Hockey League that it was okay for them to go into a corner, bloody their opponent, and that's how they won the Stanley Cup. So when somebody talks to me about the Flyers winning Stanley Cups and stuff, and Bobby Clark, and the Bruins, you know, I always remember the horrible way they played, the horrible, vicious, dirty, disgusting way they played hockey. And now, every week on Hockey Night in Canada, we act as if when the Nazis invaded Germany, or not when the Nazis invaded Europe, that they were having fun. They were just kicking. They were just playing the game. Did I just compare the Bruins and Flyers of those years with the Nazis? That was totally wrong of me to do that. I should not have done that. But then again, neither should have the league allowed it to happen. So, you know, I am totally against violence. I am totally against a lack of fairness. And if I see somebody being taken advantage of, trust me, I'll be the first one to jump in to help them out. And I don't stand for bullcrap for a second. And what we saw the first 10 minutes against Pittsburgh, the Boston Bruins were being helped by the officials. I'm not talking about marginal calls here, folks. Play the first 10, 15 minutes of that game. And about, I mean 10, 15 minutes. I mean the game clock, 10, 15 minutes. Not time. Watch and learn why the Pittsburgh Penguins were intimidated. The same way the Leafs were. The rules don't matter. And this is just another one of those times when the National Hockey League turns a blind eye so that a bully can win the cup. Now, maybe there's an upside to this. They'll be able to put the cup where the marathon ended and say they did it for them. That part, I can't complain about and argue about, because those people that died at the Boston Marathon, they were just living their lives. They were just trying to be the best athletes they could be and be a part of a fair contest where they all ran the same distance, where they all were treated the same. Unfortunately, they could be celebrated by people who got there a different way. That's why I don't like the Bruins. That's why I don't like the NHL a lot sometimes, because they do it in such an overt way. They think people are stupid. Watch the first 10 to 15 minutes of the Pittsburgh game. Watch the last Leaf game against the Bruins. Watch a guy get his nose broken with an elbow to the face where there's no review. It's like it never happened. That's why I don't like the Bruins. And that's why I have fun on Facebook yanking at their chain. Because like I said, I love going after bullies. I truly do. All right, let's get back to football. We diverted into politics. We diverted into hockey. And now we'll get back into football. I have a couple more interviews. Now, so far what I've experienced in football is I've seen tough, hard-hitting competition. But I've seen two teams go at it tooth and nail, and the refs have done a good job of being out of the way. And for that, they deserve kudos, because it's hard to officiate. Even when you're trying to be fair, it's hard. Even when you're trying to do the right thing, it's hard. Now, we did Calgary. I think it's only fair that we show equal time to our friends in Edmonton. I keep talking about this Eskimo team like there's a future for them. Well, that's because there is. Right now, they're in a tough way because they're going to be playing three very tough teams with a lot at stake. And the three of these teams that they're up against, being Calgary, Saskatchewan, and BC, all of them have a fire lit under them. Different fires, but still fires nonetheless. And those fires would include Grey Cup loss for Calgary. BC finished first, didn't make it even, you know, to the Grey Cup. And of course, Saskatchewan this year, don't forget, they're going to be the home team at the Grey Cup. Am I trying to suggest that they will in fact make it to the Grey Cup? Am I going to make, well, Edmonton not so much, because I don't think even Edmonton fans believe they're going to make it to the Grey Cup. Calgary and BC. Now, I got to be careful with BC because they're family, if you know what I mean. They're our cousins, owned by the same owner, who gratefully saved the Argos, not only saved them, gave us an opportunity to win a Grey Cup under his stewardship. Cahoon's CFL career is primed for takeoff. Will he become an elite Canadian receiver? He should have information on defensive backs now. After all, he should have information on the defensive systems as well. Now, will he improve leaps and bounds? Kavis Reed thinks so. He said, last year we saw a marked improvement. This year we're hoping for marked improvement again. Now, Calhoun is hoping to become one of the elite Canadian receivers. Now, he's one of those receivers that Williams that came in, Michael Williams from the NFL. Calhoun is one of those types of players. He's 6 foot two, 220 pounds. He caught 45 passes for 576 yards and one touchdown in 18 games last year. And that's in limited action as a rookie receiver. Now, what does he mean when he says an elite Canadian receiver? Well, he thinks of a player, former Rough Rider and BC Lion, Jason Clement, who now is retired. Or how about Ticat slot back like Andy Fantuz or Lions wide receiver Sean Gore? I mean, he loved watching Milt Stegall of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers while he was growing up. He loved how smooth he was. But he does play like a bigger, more rugged Clement, even though he's not as big. He says he can still burn out there. He's got some speed. And he loves to be physical. And he's working really hard, even when he's behind the play. The ball's going the other direction. He's still working like it's going in his direction. And Reed appreciates his work ethic. So Calhoun, not to be confused with Calhoun, Calhoun, my bad, is going to be a big receiver, a great Canadian receiver. We wish him the best of luck, and as I do with every great athlete that comes into Toronto to play the Argonauts, I hope he has a first-star game and a losing game. That's all I can say. You guys can all come here. I love all the CFL players. I hope they all have great games. No offense, though, you know, you can't come in here and win. I've got this one thing, you know. I got this soft spot for underdogs, and I've got this soft spot for the Argos. It's my deficiency in life. It's just something I have a problem with. I just try. And, you know, I should apologize for comparing the Bruins to Nazis. But like I said, I get real energetic about ticking off Boston Bruin fans. So the Edmonton Eskimos have a great player. And the reason I was thinking back to that is because I feel bad about what I said. But only because of the evil Third Reich. Yeah. Anyway, but those are like the people I hate the most. I hate people who think that the world is a place where the CFL can't exist. Because I think it can. And it will. Time to repeat.
It was a moment to remember. Doug Flutie up on the shoulders of teammates after shouldering the burden to bring the Grey Cup back to Toronto. A burden he's game to bear again this year.
More than anything, each year, each game is the most important. People have very short memories when it comes to sports. And last year was great. It was a great success story, and we're happy with it. But now we got to move forward and go after it this year. If you don't win it this year, you're a bum.
Flutie's been anything but. His run-and-gun style is so successful in the CFL, he's once again attracting interest from the NFL. But Flutie won't go, because the CFL continues to let him write his own ticket.
Right now, for me to go back to the NFL, I'd have to take a tremendous pay cut and be put in a more difficult situation. So why would I do that?
Under a new CFL-NFL agreement, Flutie's eligible to leave immediately after his CFL season is complete. But that means rejoining the NFL in midseason.
If I go to an NFL team, I want to have a training camp under my belt. I want to be in the best possible situation for me to be successful. And I tried that once before when I went to Chicago, had 3 days of practice and jumped in and played in the game on Monday night. That's not the way to do it.
Flutie keeps. And Flutie scores.
scores. Touchdown, Toronto.
Instead, Doug Flutie will do it in Toronto again. Rob Sinclair, Global Sports.
Well, now, are you sure there's any fish in here at all? Because we haven't latched into one today yet.
Tired of sitting on the sidelines? Want to be part of the game?
Be offensive. Be radical. The CFL is back and more radical than ever. The action never stops. It's hard-hitting, high-scoring football. Get in the game. Wear the attitude.
Come on, go, go, go. Woo! Be offensive. Be radical. CFL football. Get in the game.
You have any more popcorn?
Alouette, chante alouette, alouette, chante plumere. Now, what's happening in Montreal? Are there any significant things going on in Montreal? Let's check the news wire. Okay, so the Alouettes lost a coach this year. They start the season without a pretty good coach who's gone on to Chicago. And, okay, let's read what they've got going on here. There's photos. Look at all the pictures. All the great pictures. You go on the Alouette webpage. I got pictures like this, but I took them. They're nice, though, eh? I mean, these guys with the, you know, the lenses, they're like, they look like tires. You see those guys? I don't know how they drag them around the field. I mean, they're huge cameras, man. These guys like John Sokolowski works for the Argos. He's the Argo cameraman. He takes all the pictures. Actually, does stuff everywhere. They take these pictures with these giant lenses. And, you know, he has a bum leg to begin with. And dragging that bag full of those lenses, my goodness, it's a little tough. Uh-oh, John's on the phone. I wonder what he's going to say tonight. Don't tell him I said that. Okay. Wait a minute, I gotta go get my timer. Wait, hang on. I'll go get my timer.
I didn't hear a thing, Frank. Not a thing.
No? Not a thing?
No.
Oh, okay, good. Good.
I didn't hear a thing. I'm enjoying the second overtime I think we're in. I just went to go at the phone and check out if I can call you before the show ends, and I didn't see the very end of the period, but I think we're going into double overtime in the Pittsburgh Boston game, just to give you an update.
Well, thank you. How's right. The refereeing?
It's a 1-1 game. It can't be too bad. There was a couple of questionable calls in overtime that I thought, uh-oh, here we go. They're going to talk about this tomorrow if somebody scores. And you can tell the refs felt guilty about it, and they ended up calling another penalty a few minutes later against Pittsburgh. So they kind of evened it out a little bit. They're doing good tonight. They're pretty fair. Yeah, it's going into another overtime game, yeah. I mean, over the overtime period, I should say. So, just to call in, I heard at the beginning of the show you talked about the double blue game this Saturday, right?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
All right, good. You're coming then, right?
Boy, you expect a lot.
Do I? What?
Yeah, really?
What?
I mean,
I just
really?
Don't want you know
no,
what?
No.
It's not expecting a lot. All I don't want you to do is later on say, why didn't you tell me about it? Why? Why didn't you tell me, John? You don't want me to be part of the fun. You never tell me anything.
You want me to go
the first month of radio?
The fact remains, of course I'm going.
Of course.
I was wondering whether you want me to go a second time. I can only be in one place at a time. I would love to be there. Like, if I could be on both sides of the field at the same time, that would be awesome, considering I'm not allowed on the other side of the field. But, you know, having said that.
One day.
One day?
One day, perhaps.
Okay. So I didn't get a chance. I didn't get a chance to talk about the other three. Oh, sorry. I didn't get a chance to talk about the Riders this year. So in lieu of playing the music, we're down to about 23 minutes, and that's about an hour and a half short to have you on.
I love
every conversation we have on the telephone. What? I've been on the phone for 2 hours. How the heck that happened? Well, John, I fell asleep halfway through and I woke up.
Oh!
Otherwise, it would only be an hour.
Nice, Frank. You're burning your own show. Nice.
Hey, you know what? I went to the drive-in last night.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I fell asleep at the drive-in at 2 o'clock in the morning watching Iron Man 3.
No, you didn't.
Oh, absolutely. God, that was...
You fell asleep? You know, first of all, you don't tell me you went by yourself.
Absolutely.
Oh, no. That's sad, Frank.
I went by myself. I sat in the drive-in and watched a bunch of teenagers making out when I wasn't looking at the screen, which was most of the time except for when my eyelids were closed.
Okay, that sounded a little bit creepy there. First of all, now you're painting me a wrong picture here. I don't want to think of that as you going by yourself.
Okay, let me say this. The telescope I had was only for business.
Oh,
no,
I
that,
see.
Okay. I'm kidding. I wanted to see Iron Man 3. Mm. And the real snooze fest was, what's it called, that car movie, 6. Fast and Furious.
Yes.
I was sleepy and delirious watching it. God. And, you know, I actually paid good money to watch that. It cost me $3 to watch that movie.
I'm sorry about that. But you were mentioning the Riders.
I drive in.
You were mentioning the Riders.
Yes. They are hosting the Grey Cup. They've continually they added Quick to the lineup. A pretty strong lineup that has Ricky. Can you imagine Ricky Foley, Quick? That's going to be a pretty fearsome defense.
You know, I love Ricky, and the expectations are going to be high by Rider fans for him to perform. Again, a hometown native, never will say anything bad, but I hope, you know, he doesn't feel the pressure halfway through. The Rider fans are expecting every year a lot from their team, and when you got the pressure like they do now, let's just put it in a nutshell, Frank, okay? Rider fans, to them, every year the pressure is on the players like as if the game is played, the Grey Cup is being played in their hometown. So this year is no different from them. It's just an added pile of crap of pressure that they're going to be getting, these players that are, going to try to do their thing this year in Regina. So all the best to them. Toronto, you know, we don't even get the quarter of that kind of pressure, the players and the franchise that they do in Saskatchewan and Regina. So I love that kind of passion that they have out there. But again, I don't know. The numbers don't tell me that it's supposed to be the Riders this year coming up. I like Calgary.
Okay, good. You like Calgary. They were the favorites after the Grey Cup. Let's move on to Winnipeg. Okay, they've got two for the show. Bombers have options at tailback, so they've got a couple of tailbacks. They added import linebacker Chad Falcon. And the most important thing I can say about Winnipeg is apparently the mascots are really working really hard. Both of them, that's Buzz and Boomer, are both trying to get really fit for the season.
Well, they better be, because they're going to have to do a lot of entertaining. As far as I know, I still never got any word as far as Winnipeg having a good quarterback. So until that changes, the stadium is going to be the highlight. The entire year, every game. I mean, that place is beautiful. Very envious of what the Bomber fans have in Winnipeg coming up this year. So, they're going to have to be fit, Frank, the mascots, because they're going to have to be running around entertaining the crowd, because it's certainly not going to be on the field.
I like the fact that, you know, there's one thing, John, you're consistent.
Thanks.
If it doesn't say Argo, it can't be a success.
No, who says Argos? I never used Argos in that. See, now you're stereotyping anybody who's really a hardcore passionate. I was being neutral there. I'm just saying how it is. I mean, let's be realistic. You never asked me my opinion about how Toronto's going to do this year. I'd be more than happy to tell you straight up.
We're going to talk about that. But we got one more team to do. We got the black and gold to talk about. Now, they signed defensive back Rico Murray.
Okay.
You know, and they have the big addition, literally, 6'4", 281-pound defensive lineman Brian Bulk. And Bulk is the name of the word on that one. And, you know, they're basically a team that's being rebuilt in a hurry. mm-hmm. on the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. How do you see their fortunes this year? I think they're going to be much improved. I'll say mine, and then you go ahead.
All right. Well, besides all the drama that they got to deal with the Williams situation, I don't even want to touch that. You know, I really don't. I mean, I hope they can work through the drama part. They got a mountain to climb, the Ticat organization, and Austin is a great boost, maybe psychologically, but as far as you know, the actual talent, they got a lot of talent. But anytime a new coach comes in, new coaches, I should say, come in.
Absolutely,
you know,
new GM.
Challenge to deal with this kind of stuff, Frank. And I wish all the Ticats well because, you know, if they suck, then the games are no fun when we play them because we don't want a weakling Ticat team when we beat them every year to say that, oh, we weren't our best. We want them at their best. So when we do meet them, especially on the opener, you know, we can show them who the real team is. So I wish them all the best with that. But the drama, let's hope they get over the drama first, Frank.
Well, it's going to be a big adventure for them. The Williams situation is a real rough ride, so they're going to need a lot of drama mean because it's going to get mean out there. It's really going to be tough for them. You know, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that you know they have to play outside of their city. Good for Guelph. I think Guelph will enjoy having the Ticats there.
Absolutely.
Lori when I talked to her last, she's booking a trip for the Toronto fans to go to Guelph.
Yeah,
it's going to be a fun year. There's so many things going on that are like unusual, you know? I mean,
really?
How more unusual do you want to enter into a Grey Cup season where the Saskatchewan Rough Riders need to win the Grey Cup just to keep pace with BC and Toronto? A season when Hamilton doesn't have a home. A season when Winnipeg has a brand new stadium that should have opened last year. It's opening finally this year. The thrill of that, the thrill of Saskatchewan having a new stadium, you know, there's a lot of really interesting stuff going on for the fans. I'm not talking about the teams now. I'm talking about the fans.
Right, right.
And I, like you stated, I mean, and I don't mean that, you know, I'm just trying to be your antithesis or you know, I'm trying to be, you know, yang to your yin, you know what I'm saying?
Keep
Otherwise, we
begin
to sound too much, you know, when you're not on, I talk about the Argos like I kind of like them.
Oh, no, don't do that. You can't do that. That's not normal in Toronto. You can't like a team.
But when you're on, I can't be. Like, otherwise, people are going to say, "Wow, that's pretty obvious who they are rooting for."
Well, hey, you know what, Frank? You can't stereotype yourself on the show because I kid you not. Across the country, other cities have their own home base shows, and believe me, if you've listened to them, you are way over neutral compared to the homeboying that goes on those local shows. So you're doing a fine job. You know, if people out there don't think you are neutral to other teams, then boy, they haven't listened to the Rider shows or, you know, there's a BC show out there and Montreal's got the, I don't understand them because I don't speak French. So, but I know they got, you know, shows going on and they're not being neutral, Frank. They're, you know, beating their chest and doing all the puffing they want as far as puffing their chests up and saying that they're number one. That's all good. So you're doing a fine job.
Well, listen, thanks for the compliment, and I know you mean it. You know, we're running down time here. I'm not even sure how much time I even have left.
10 minutes.
We're down to 14 minutes. So we can talk about the Argos now. Now, we talked about the important game, the one that's happening on Saturday, and yes, I will be there. And yes, I will do my best to do interviews. In fact, it'll probably be a great opportunity to talk to a lot of the fans. Now, we haven't mentioned they added a few players, Trent Guy or Gee. I didn't get a chance to play that interview with your buddy and pal Frank Ziccarelli. Maybe you know what? If I have it, John, if I have it, let me play it so that you can comment on it because it is one of the funniest interviews I've ever heard. This week, Frank Ziccarelli was on his game. First, he talked to Ricky Ray about his golf game and how it helps him as a quarterback. And then he asked him about then he asked him about Trent Guy. And he says, "Is it Guy or Gee?" And then he says to Ricky, he says, "Is he a nice guy?" And I'm sitting there looking at Frank. And, you know, you can't help but look down at Frank because he's not very tall, right? So you're halfway there, you know, when it comes to looking down at him.
Oh,
you can't help
Frank.
It, right?
So, yeah, but, you know, Mr. Zuccarelli has a dry sense of humor, too. So.
I know he does, and that's why I'm using it. Because I asked him, and I'm also bitter, I got to tell you. I said, Frank, hey, how about doing an interview? I don't do that kind of stuff. And I respect
Let's
that.
Hear it.
And I,
Let's
and
hear
I,
it.
I'm looking for it, buddy. I got like 200 interviews. I'm looking for the one that says Ricky Ray on the third.
Well, yeah.
Tell me what you think of the Argos this year. Oh, here it is. Here it is. I got it.
Okay.
I think this is it. I think this is the interview. It's either the golf one or it's either the guy thing.
All right.
Have
Ricky
a listen.
Ray talking about golf?
Instead of riding in a cart, you know, you get out and walk. You know, that's part of the conditioning. But no.
Build up the cardio.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I like to golf in the off season, but yeah, you got to come in shape. I mean, camp isn't long enough to kind of come in here and, you know, say you're going to get into shape during camp. You're going to train hard to make sure you're in good shape. Obviously, you can't prepare for exactly what football has to bring, but you got to come in somewhat good shape.
Does that just sort of keeps you competitive as Ricky when you do golf in the off season? How do you view that in terms of helping you as a football player?
Not really. I mean, as an athlete, it's the same thing. I mean, you're out there, like you said, trying to compete and shoot your best, and you got to put time in, just like you do with football. Some of those senses, it's pretty similar. But for me, it's just a way to get out and still be active and do some things and have some enjoyment. But, you know, I do my normal football training like I do every off season.
Ricky, do you hope maybe then that it might be some mulligans during the year, you know, while you're playing football?
I wish you had mulligans in football. I wish if I throw an interception, I could say, hey, I'm gonna take my mulligan on that one.
There you go.
But it doesn't really work that way. You know, in football, just like in golf, I mean, if you're playing serious, you just got to move on to the next shot or the next play. And you know, you got to kind of have a short memory out here, and you're going to have some good plays, and you're going to have some bad plays, but you want to try and limit the bad plays.
Ricky, the offense doesn't work directly according to the defense of the team, but with some of the issues that have cropped up here with the team, with some players missing and stuff, do you foresee a bit of a change or something that you guys need to do if the defense isn't quite ready at the beginning of the season? Do you play differently as a quarterback? Do you make different decisions?
Not necessarily. You know, obviously you try and play to what that game brings. You know, if it's a high scoring game, you know, you got to be a little bit more aggressive. If it's a defensive battle, you know, you got to protect the football and, you know, be smart with it out there. So you just kind of adjust to get each game individually. And, for us, I mean, our philosophy is going to be the same going into every game. You know, we want to protect the football, not have penalties. And, you know, move the football.
Rick, is there some guy from a year ago that you've seen so far that maybe he's quicker or you notice any kind of physical change? I know his cacker's a little bigger than his upper body.
Yeah, I think he did some more curls this offseason. No, but one guy, Dontrell looks a little bit bigger, a little bit more physical than he was last year. I spoke to him a little bit in the offseason. He said he'd been working hard to put on a little bit of weight. I think that's going to help him out, you know, just being more physical when he's one-on-one. He did a great job last year, so it'll give him even more of an advantage, and he's definitely one guy that I've noticed.
Thanks, Ricky.
Yep.
Thanks,
Ricky Ray, quarterback.
How's your timing coming along?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely more comfortable, you know, being in the offense for a year and being around these guys and knowing what to expect from you know, the receivers, running backs, and all those guys. So, in that sense, it's a little bit easier. You're still rusty coming off of a long off season, so just got to work through that the next few days. Thank you.
You're listening to Candid Frank Live, streaming on Rouge Radio. We're the Argos cheerleaders.
Joe Pella of your Toronto Argonauts, and you're listening to Candid Frank Live.
Okay, John, now here's something I want to say this because I want to once again I noticed that Chris Chivcharin, Shivy, also has a Christinger friend, a mutual friend.
Yes.
Okay.
And by the way, it's pronounced Randy Chris Singer.
Chris Singer?
Yes, Chris Singer.
Chris Singer? Oh, okay.
Yes. Chris Singer, yes.
Cool. I always thought it was Christinger, but that's okay.
I did too, and I just want to help Randy out by clarifying it, that's all.
So it's Randy Chris Singer.
Singer, yes.
Chris Singer. Okay.
Chris Singer,
now,
yes.
There are a few other people. I've mentioned how much I admire Chad Kackert, and it's obvious why. He's not a big guy, but man, is he tough. I want to give a shout out, and I keep forgetting to do this, and I want to do it all the time because I want people to understand that I really appreciate, and I talk about Kackert about liking him, Joe Appel and Jason Pottinger. In the off season, I don't think there have been players who have done more work for the Argos in representing them at charitable events and ensuring that the Argos are doing their part out in the community. And I just want to give them too a shout out. I always forget to do that. And I just wanted to do that. And also, like we said, Randy, and of course to you. And have I missed
Who's
anybody?
You? Who's this guy you keep talking about? I don't know this guy you. And I won't pull a Jamie on you, but I was waiting for your other co-host tonight, John Gager.
Oh, yeah, I misspelled that. No, it was Granger. No, it was Ganger. Ganger.
Yeah.
No R, right? I left the R. I saw that.
You left the N. You left the N out. No worries, yeah. Frank. But I was just kind of Chris, as a matter of fact, brought that up to me. He goes,
well,
oh,
tell
who's
Chris
the other guy?
Shut up. Tell Chris to shut up. That's
okay,
me telling you real quick, and sometimes what happens is it doesn't take what I put in, and I have to put it in the second time. And the second time, as you know, if you ever do anything twice, it's never as good as the first time. But anyway.
Is that what she said?
That's what she said. If there ever is the second time. That's what she said. So we got a few minutes left, and we haven't talked about the Argonauts, other than the fact that they've got their, what I referred to, you may not have heard, but I referred to it as the double blue boat logo game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I thought you might like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're going to be like that about it. Would you prefer Argo Life Worth boat logo?
It's just a scrimmage game between all the extras. That's all it is, and they're trying to get a feel for each other a little bit. And it's really for the coaches to see in some sort of, you know, one-on-one kind of competition thing. How do these guys – have they picked up the playbook is really what it comes down to, because there's no contact, okay? Let's get that clear. So
limited
they just want
contact. Limited contact, just to establish blocking. That's all.
It's touch. It's flag, touch, whatever. No one's tackling nobody here, so – it's light, but they just want to see if they picked up the plays. I mean, I don't envy these guys. People really don't understand, no matter what league you're in, when you got to have a handbook, a playbook to pick up and learn in a short period of time and then, you know, be tested on it, physically, literally, it's challenging, and it's mentally challenging too. So they got to get their focus. That's what really this Saturday is about. It's to see who's been, studying, really. And the coaches get to kind of break down things a little bit to see who they're going to play for next week's season open in Winnipeg, which, you know what, that'd be such a nice thing to go to. But we'll have to watch it from Toronto.
You know what I heard? You know what I heard through the grapevine? Edmonton, big league stadium, right? Everybody's talking about how wonderful it is.
Uh-huh.
Who said
it's wonderful? Who said that?
Well, I did, but I made a mistake when I said that, because apparently if you're a radio broadcaster, you don't get to see the hash marks on your side. So if a player goes towards the boundary, the out of bounds, the radio guy has to guess at what's happening.
Oh,
because he can't see it.
I don't know the press box people's point of view, but I got to tell you, you know, maybe 20 years ago, Edmonton was considering, you know, who you're going to compare it to in Canada, was a nice place to watch a game. Been there for a couple of Grey Cups. Yeah, not so much.
Commonwealth Stadium you're referring to?
What's that?
You're referring to Commonwealth Stadium, right?
Yeah, I love the, you know, I love the condition of the turf that they always kept it in. And but not you know, the, as far as the seating goes, I don't love it. I love Winnipeg though. I mean, holy smokes, that is that's beautiful.
Except for the radio media guys.
Okay. Tough luck for them.
I kind of given away where the information came from. Now Marcus Brady. Brady now has been brought in. Came from Montreal. He knew Milanovic while he was in Montreal. Milanovic was the head coach and the offensive coordinator. Now he's got an offensive coordinator. As he said in talking to him, he still goes to the meetings and he sits in the back of the classroom. And unfortunately, he does have his opinions and he lets them be known. So while Marcus Brady is able to put his fingerprints all over this team, there's still a few old fingerprints on this team.
A little bit.
So do you see the offense performing any differently, or basically is it setting up Ricky Ray and Chad Kackert and Chad Owens and making sure that the rest of the guys keep up?
I think, like, every year it's who gets the head start here out of the gate as far as the timing goes. Last year was a challenge. Everything seemed new to a lot of people. The coaches, the players, especially our quarterback. This year, let's put it this way, Frank. They're ahead of the game a little bit, but at the same time, they got a lot of new faces, and each year is new. Everybody has to feel the chemistry. It's a little bit more difficult in Toronto. You know, we don't have the greatest practice facilities, and there isn't that unity that they do in small towns.
I got it. I can't resist. I got to interrupt you. Practice facilities? The poor guys are – the places that they're practicing are fine. There's nothing wrong with where they've been playing. The trouble is they've been to three practice facilities already.
Right.
Two of them are AstroTurf, right? And one is grass. The AstroTurf affords the players an accommodation where they get to know and get comfortable with where they'll be playing, whereas the grass turf allows the guys to get a little bit of a break in as far as their knees and their bodies are concerned, because AstroTurf, especially at practice, is very difficult on the body. So they were all looking forward to going to UTM, University of Toronto, in Mississauga, to get on the grass again where they can run without the pain and the aches and stuff that they're trying to, while they're trying to work out the kinks of coming back for another season. I'd like to also add to your comment, in as far as each year is different. Absolutely. Because the years are different because some guys make progress, some guys go the other direction, and some guys stay the same. And training camp's all about identifying which is which and with whom and whom. So, yeah, it's very tough. It doesn't matter.
It's going to be a challenge. Frank. It's going to be a challenge, and we're going to have to talk about it some more. I'm just wondering, how much time do we have left?
Minus 2 minutes.
Oh, I think we're already off, but I think your probably extended recording goes to the end. So, minus 2 minutes. Minus 2 minutes. I
what,
just got
you finally
that.
Got it?
We've been off the air for 2 minutes.
You finally got it, did you?
I had a good chit-chat with you if we're still on the air. Thanks for listening, everybody. And keep listening to Frank. He's got a lot of good stuff coming up. Looking forward to it, Frank. You have yourself a good one, all righty? Night, yes. Cleveland.
Good night, Boston. what should we take out? You know what? I haven't played a Ryder tune. Is it a Ryder tune I want to play? We're going to play out. Well, you know what? Hey, I want to play out with this. This used to be the old opening.
Daylight come and me won't go home.
That's right. Daylight come, me want to go home. Have a great night, everybody. And I apologize for that Nazi comment. I was a little strong.